Welcome to Parents' Perspective. I just can't seem to get it together, moaned Jill, her head in her hands. Each day when the kids leave for school, I think, today I'm going to get it all done. I'm going to finally be organized. And then somehow it all falls apart. And before I know it, the kids are home and the breakfast dishes aren't even done. I know, her friend Brenda commiserated, grimacing at her own half-folded pile of laundry. Things always seem to pile up when you least expect it. I find that a daily list is pretty helpful, though. Oh, I have lots of lists, Jill added quickly. But then the phone rings, or I remember a sale somewhere, or think of something the kids should have for school. It all gets to be a big jumble in my head, and I can't remember what it was I was meant to do in the first place. And now that they're both bringing home homework assignments, I can't imagine being able to help them cope. Brenda looked at her friend from the corner of her eye. Jill, did you ever get tested for ADD? From a parent's perspective, what should we know and how can we cope when a mom has attention deficit disorder? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today has visited with us before. She's an expert when it comes to evaluating and dealing with ADD. Dr. Patricia Quinn is a developmental pediatrician in the Washington, D.C. area and a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the Georgetown University Medical Center. Dr. Quinn specializes in child development and psychopharmacology and has worked for over 30 years in the areas of ADHD and learning disabilities. She gives workshops nationwide and has published widely in these fields. Dr. Quinn is the author of several books on ADHD, the most recent of which is When Moms and Kids Have ADD. She's currently director of the National Center for Girls and Women with ADHD. In 2000, Dr. Quinn received the Hall of Fame Award from CHAAD, the Organization for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder. She is the mother of four children, three of whom have ADHD, and she also has ADHD herself. And she has seven grandchildren, five girls and two boys. Welcome back to Parents Perspective, Dr. Quinn.
It's great to be here again.
I guess we better start right away with what's the biggest myth about ADD, and please clarify what it means.
Well, first of all, let's talk about what ADHD or ADD is. People get confused with all these names that are floating around out there. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder is the formal name we have today. It is a neurobiochemical disorder that's usually inherited, and it's seen in boys and girls and moms and dads as well. It involves paying attention, being organized, hyperactivity and impulsivity. But those last two symptoms are what get everyone confused. We can have attention deficit disorder without any hyperactivity. That's what people usually refer to as ADD. When we call it ADHD, we usually see the hyperactivity and impulsivity as components of the disorder. But today, they're all under the umbrella term AD/HD, and there are three types. Purely hyperactive impulsive, which is the rarest, the inattentive type, which is ADD, and then the type that has both inattention and hyperactivity, which is the ADHD.
Before we forget, let's make sure we cover what is the biggest myth.
I think the biggest myth about ADHD is that it's a disorder for children only. We know that this disorder, if a child has symptoms, continues to present problems in 70% of those adolescents who were diagnosed as children. We also see that 50% of adults continue to have problems or symptoms that affect their functioning. So this is a chronic lifelong disorder that affects children and continues well into adulthood. And unfortunately, individuals out there are not aware that this is a disorder that can affect them as adults. So they really, if they've not been diagnosed, don't know what's going on. And what we find is that certain individuals, by their life choices, by decisions that they've made or skills that they've developed, are able to cope quite well. So their symptoms are no longer affecting their functioning. It's like having allergies. If you're allergic to cats when you're younger, you're probably still going to be allergic to cats when you're older. And what we see is that certain individuals, through hard work or through choices that they make in their lives for a more ADHD-friendly lifestyle, are able to cope quite well, and their symptoms no longer affect their functioning.
And that's interesting because you're talking about 50% of adults. So 50% of adults, theoretically, are able to manage somehow.
That's right. We see that certain individuals, although they may not even get diagnosed, make choices within their lives that allow them to function as best they can.
What do you see as some of the differences between kids with ADD and adults with ADD?
I think the biggest difference between children and adults with ADHD is that most children are able somehow to get supports, either through the school system or through their parents at home. We know moms will stay up very late with the kids to get the homework done. If they, for example, forget their books, mom will drive them back so that they can pick up the books that they've missed or help them get materials that they need for projects. And what we find with adults is they're really alone, suffering silently in most cases, that a lot of women with ADHD try to hide their disorder. You know, if you stay inside and don't invite anyone over, no one knows how messy your house is. We also see very often with men with the disorder that they also don't know what's going on and may go through several jobs or several marriages as a result and really don't seek help or don't get any help. The symptomatology is pretty much the same. Hyperactivity changes a little bit over time, so that we don't see adults getting up, running around the room. They may be jiggling their legs or being restless or fidgety, but we don't see them so much being physically hyperactive. Although for women, they may be hypertalkative, and for men, they may be a little bit more fidgety or restless. But we see that symptom kind of changing. But I think the biggest difference is that the adults really are alone in facing this disorder. And that's one of the reasons why we wrote our book, so that moms could get a sense of how they can get help and how they can, within families, work within the family to get help for themselves.
Are there other differences between women and men with ADD?
We see several other differences. I think one of the major differences is that women tend to internalize and blame themselves when things go wrong. For example, if a woman doesn't or a young girl doesn't do well on a test, she will look at it and say, that's because I'm not smart. So she internalizes it. If a boy doesn't do well on a test or a man is having trouble at work, it's always his boss's fault or it's the teacher's fault or it was a stupid test. They don't interpret it as I'm stupid. They interpret it and externalize it as the other issues causing them problems. So for the women, they tend to take all of this in and become very demoralized. I know when we diagnose a woman with ADHD, one of the first things she says is, wow, that's all it is? You mean I'm not stupid? So all these years, they've been dealing with this sense of feeling that they are a failure. And I think that that's a big difference that we really need to address right up front when we diagnose a woman with ADHD, so that she gets a sense and can sort some of this out. We don't have that particular problem with men with the disorder when they're diagnosed. They come into us usually complaining about job dissatisfaction rather than the fact that they're not competent. And I think that that, again, leads to a lot of depression and anxiety and other issues that we see with women. Women with ADHD don't have a lot of flexible problem-solving skills. They're really not able to generate a lot of different solutions to a problem. They tend to keep using the same solution over and over again, even if it's not working. So we find that parenting particularly is an area that we need to work with moms on if they have ADHD.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on moms with ADD.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Patricia Quinn about mothers with ADD.
Does a mom with ADD have a different kind of relationship with an ADD child than with a non-ADD child, assuming she has one or more of each?
Depending on the sex of their child who also has ADHD, we see different relationships. When a mom has ADHD and has a son with ADHD, she's really able to support him, to understand, and to be very empathetic about the issues that he's going through, and almost kind of protects him from the world, I think, since she knows what's been in store for her. With daughters with ADHD, we see just the opposite happening. Moms with ADHD see the difficulties they've had, and they know that their daughter is going to face some of the same kinds of problems. So they tend to be a little more hypercritical of their daughters with ADHD, almost because they do empathize, but understand that she needs to correct some of these issues before she gets into adulthood, or her daughter will be having the same kinds of problems she has. So we do see different kinds of relationships based on gender. We also see that moms with ADHD are good at helping their child and supporting their child with ADHD, but often they don't get their own ADHD taken care of first. It's really the theme of the book here. We start out on page one, relating to women that if they have the disorder, just like when you get on an airplane and the airline personnel tell you that you need to put on your oxygen mask before you put on the other person's oxygen mask, we don't want you to pass out so that you can't put on the other person's oxygen mask. So take care of yourself first. And you know, moms aren't very good at that. They have a hard time taking care of themselves first. And we point out to moms in our book, and I think it's really our premise for parenting for moms with ADHD, that you don't need to be afraid of this. There are lots of strengths, as you just pointed out, that you have. But what you need to do is get your own ADHD symptoms under control through diagnosis and treatment. And then you can go on to be a positive role model for your child with ADHD. And I think that's very important, that they can deal with these issues, but they need to address their own specific ADHD symptoms first.
Do you generally see adults with ADHD as a result of a child coming in to be diagnosed?
Often that's the first clue of what's going on. They know they've had these problems. They don't know what they were. They may have misinterpreted what they were, as we've said. And when they take their child for a diagnosis, they start filling out forms and talking to the doctor about what they see. And it starts ringing bells in saying, I was just like this when I was younger, or I have these same problems. Or if I filled out this form about myself, I would be saying the same thing about myself. And it's then that they realize that maybe this is what's been going on with me. And maybe there's hope. You know, ADHD is a very hopeful diagnosis. There are things we can do to change. We can help you make decisions. We can help reduce your symptoms. We have lots of support and structure that we can share with the parent with ADHD to help them as they parent and deal with their own lives as well as the lives of their children. So getting the diagnosis can actually be an opportunity for things to get better within the family and to improve some of these parenting issues that we've seen.
Are there medications that are used?
We know that stimulant medications improve symptoms of ADHD. They decrease impulsivity and hyperactivity. They improve attention span. They decrease distractibility. And the same medications that help children are very effective for adults with ADHD as well. It's not just medication, though. There are lots of other things you need to do. But we do find that if you want to work on the symptoms, and that's what we need to do, those are the corrections we need to make first before we learn the skills and strategies, that you do need to have at least a trial of medication to see how it works on treating your symptoms of ADHD and then see where we go from there.
What about the day-to-day managerial tasks of parenting? You started to tell some examples, kind of frightening, forgetting to pick up the kids and all that kind of stuff. How do these mothers cope? What kinds of suggestions do you give them?
Well, first of all, we talk about getting their symptoms reduced, which may include medication or not. Then we talk about, for moms, getting the family involved and educating everybody about what's going on. You know, ADHD is a family affair. Everyone's living with the symptoms. Everyone's living with the fallout. And we need to get the family involved. We find that education, family meetings are very important to seek solutions for problems. For example, morning routines, getting everyone out of the house in the morning. How are we going to accomplish that as a family? So having strategies, providing and putting a lot of structure within the families. Have those whiteboards in the kitchen where everyone's schedule is written down. Having as many structural supports within the home that you have. Have notebooks in the kitchen of children's schedules, of the soccer schedules, having everything organized in one place so that they can see what's going on. Then we work on really getting them support for organizational skills, making lists, helping them organize. You know, a lot of these homes are very cluttered, and it's very hard for these women, as your little segment at the beginning of the show was pointing out, it's hard for them to get through their day. They kind of live in a sense of being overwhelmed. So we help them with both professional organizers to come into their house and help them organize, or we help them with strategies that will help them organize. Also, we use for women coaching, helping them set short-term goals, help them be accountable for those goals. You know, what are you going to do today? You know, when I talk to a lot of these moms, they say, you know, when my kids were toddlers and they took a two-hour nap, I knew that I only had those 2 hours to wallpaper the room and I got it done. You know, that's where the energy of having ADHD is. But creating that structure and that schedule, when their kids are then not there all day long, they don't have that structure and schedule and things tend to fall apart. So we help them set up a lot of that day-to-day structure, that day-to-day organization that will help them get through. And then also support. We think that women who have had these problems, who have self-esteem issues, who feel they're not very smart, or who've had difficulty in their marriage because of it, may need some periods of counseling or family therapy to help them deal with these issues as well, or to treat any depression or any symptoms of not feeling that they're capable or they're able to do things. Often we have to have sessions with that. And I think the biggest support often is other women. You talked a little bit about how the woman at the beginning of the show was helping. We've worked a lot with support groups for women with ADHD, and right now I'm the leader of a Facebook community called ADHD Moms. So we're on Facebook, and we're lending support to each other. It's called Facebook.com/ADHD moms. And what we're trying to do is to support one another. There was a wonderful group that I worked with in California once that, you know, most women with ADHD, we call them laundry disabled. One of the diagnostic categories should be how many times did you have to wash the same load of laundry? Because often, you know, just like they forget things, they put their laundry in and forget that it's in there. So they find it 3 days later, have to go wash it again and then forget it again. And this group of women, to support each other, had what they call dig outs, where they'd go to each other's house and they'd help clean. They'd go from house to house. They'd make it a great day. They'd have lots of fun. And they'd do laundry. They'd fold laundry, do laundry, help clean. And the women really did support each other. And it wasn't something to be ashamed of. They were kind of all in it together. And they really did help each other deal with some of these managerial issues that can create huge hurdles for women with ADHD.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on moms with ADD.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Patricia Quinn about mothers with ADD. How can moms with ADD or ADHD help their children, both with and without the problems, learn such skills as delayed gratification, personal organization, and staying on task?
Well, I think the best way to do that is to talk about your own ADHD, to be open. In dealing with ADHD, you need two things. You need to be honest and open, and you need a sense of humor. And be very forgiving, both with yourself, your own foibles day to day, and with those of your children. And I think that if you can deal with these as real issues, it's a reality, it exists. I'm sorry, I forget things, and then be able to say, but I still need to remember to do X, Y, and Z. What can we do about it? If your kids see you making a list, they're going to start making lists. So if you can start talking about why you need these things, why you're using them, and to be open about making mistakes. I know that's one thing in our family. As I said, I have three children with ADHD, and I also have ADHD. And within my family, one of the things that we would often do is just sit and laugh about various problems that we had and various issues that had come up. And I know even with parenting, I used to have signals for my children. I used to wear a red bandana around my head if no one was supposed to talk to me that day or that evening. Some days I just have a lot to do here and I'm not in a very good mood. And we were open and honest about it and said, okay, you know, stay away from mom today when she has the red bandana on. And I think that by dealing with issues that way, we're not making excuses, we're not hiding from our problems. And for moms, this is a way that once they get help and can better deal with their solutions or have solutions for their problems, they can then pass those on to their kids and allow the family to be able to celebrate differences and to be able to really enjoy some of the fun aspects of having ADHD.
Which is, let's go make a circus this afternoon instead
Absolutely.
Of doing
that. My sister, who has ADHD as well, was a school teacher for over 15 years. And she used to say, I may not know what we're going to do when I get in the classroom this morning, but I can tell you it'll be fun.
And
that's,
good for her.
That's one of the things that we do see with these moms with ADHD. Their spontaneity, their creativity allows them to really be able to enjoy life very often with their children and to, you know, say, okay, laundry's not that important. I've already washed this load twice. Let's go do something else. And I think that's, again, very important.
And you wonder whether the entrepreneurial spirit of a lot of people with ADHD comes to the fore. I'm thinking of a number of businesses that have thrived on the fantasy of us all being organized.
Absolutely. And I think that again, we see many of these women are very creative, and men as well, but many of the women are very creative. They may not fit the mold that society has for them, but if they can find their niche as far as something that they're passionate about, which you talked about before. I remember one woman that called me from Boston, and she had just lost her 22nd job. And she said, help, I need help.
Wow.
And we did refer her for a diagnosis up there, and she got treatment. But one of the weekends, she went on a retreat, a yoga retreat for the weekend. And she absolutely loved it, felt very calm, felt very in control when she finished a weekend of yoga. And she actually trained to be a yoga instructor, set up her own business, and did yoga all day long with different groups, was very successful. And when I called her 3 years later and 5 years later, she was still doing very well, running her own yoga studio and being very successful when she was not able to hold down other more structured, secretarial, boring, filing, routine positions. And for her, yoga was really her salvation.
Well, you have obviously been part of the salvation of a lot of our listening audience, so we're very grateful that you came. Before we wrap up here, in addition to your book, When Moms and Kids Have ADD, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue some of these issues further?
Getting educated about ADD or ADHD particularly is important. There are lots of good books out there. Driven to Distraction by Dr. Halliwell and Rady is very good. We have a book called Understanding Women with ADHD. Dr. Nadeau and I, Dr. Sari Solden has a book called Women with Attention Deficit Disorder. I think getting some information from those books is very important. CHAD is an organization which supports parents with ADHD as well, or parents without ADHD. ADHD supporting their children. I think that's an important organization.
Does that have a website?
www.chadd.org. There's an adult ADD organization called ADDA, A-D-D-A, and that's www.add.org. We have a website for women and girls with ADHD called Advance, ADDVANCE.com. There's lots of information about the disorder there. I think also looking at professional organizers within your community and seeking help in organizational issues for your home, or coaches, life coaches who can help you with some of these areas, are very important. And as I said before, we have an ADHD mom support group on Facebook so that you can go on and find out more information and learn from other moms with ADHD. They really are very good at helping both point out the strengths of their children, but also their own strengths in being a mom with ADHD. It's not all bad. It can be lots of fun and wonderful. And you know, it's much more fun to enjoy the trip than sit there and struggle against the winds and the currents. Just enjoy the roller coaster ride.
Well, we have certainly enjoyed our conversation with you today. So, Dr. Patricia Quinn, thank you so much for being with us to help us understand how we can help moms with ADD.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Dr. Quinn's book, When Moms and Kids Have ADD, by Patricia Quinn and Kathleen Nadeau. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 418 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the SF Foundation. At the end of our program, we often thank organizations and individuals for generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents' Perspective. Parents' Perspective Incorporated is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today, it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Donations can be made online through GiveDirect, or iGive.com, or MissionFish at eBay. Or you can send checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Thank you for helping us continue to work for you. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.